Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today to this broadcast, Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we do want to face some serious issues in this broadcast today. But before we do, let me just give you a little brief overview of some of the subjects, some of the issues that we'll be looking at in our next week's broadcast. Some of the titles, if you will, are the issue subjects. What about the prosperity gospel? Does the Bible teach that we're to be prosperous? Is that true or false? Or is there something in between? Should Christians be involved in politics? Should Christians be involved in the political society in which we live? Another subject we'll look at, should churches allow sodomites to be members or even serve? Many denominations are doing that today. Is it biblical? Some of these churches that are doing it, some of the denominations saying that they're having to wrestle with in their conferences and their debates of what would be the right thing to do. Well, what does the Bible say? Another subject we'll look at, are Christians in America being persecuted? Are Christians in America being persecuted? Or better succinctly stated, is the church persecuted in America today? We'll look at another subject. Should marijuana be legalized? And if so, why? And if not, why not? Are we in apostasy? Are we literally in apostasy? Are we living in a society today when the Bible is being fulfilled? That's another one of the issues that we'll deal with in our next week's broadcast. Another issue that I think should be understood, when will the rapture take place? When will the rapture take place? I can tell you because the Bible says so. And ladies and gentlemen, we look at issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then he said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So ladies and gentlemen, each day when you tune in, you can rest assured that the source book for the final authority on any issue we discuss on this broadcast will be based on a central biblicist theological doctrinal viewpoint, not some ideological or denominational philosophical view. But what does the Bible say? But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the subject we're going to be talking about today, is heaven just a fairy tale? Is heaven just a fairy tale? But before we get into the monologue today, let me invite you to worship with us Sunday. First Conservative Baptist Church, we're located exactly precisely 1 mile south of I-295 on Old St. Augustine Road. Our worship service is on Sunday mornings at 10:45 and 7 p.m. on Sunday evening. We have the Bible study hour at 9:30 on Sunday morning, Sunday school. We have every age group that we have opportunity and provide the opportunity to study the Scripture. So we pray that you'll join with us. I'm thankful that you tune in and join with us each day on this broadcast. But we'd love to meet you in person, have the privilege and the opportunity to see you in worship service with us as we still stick to the proclamation of the old-fashioned gospel, the Word of God. What does the Bible say verse by verse and chapter by chapter? So we'd love to have you Sunday morning. This Sunday morning, by the way, as a part of the morning worship hour, we'll be celebrating the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. So if you're saved, if you've said yes to Jesus Christ, you'd like to participate with us in that special service, you're welcome. We'd love to have you. We are in the book of Galatians on Sunday morning, studying it verse by verse. on Sunday evening. We're in the book of James, studying that text verse by verse. And we'll just say, simply take a Bible book at the time, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, and share the Word. What does the Word of God say? So if you're hungry to know the Word, if you're hungry to investigate the Scripture, if you're hungry to allow the Word of God to be opened to your understanding, then we openly invite you to come and worship with us. We're not a rock and roll church. We don't have the contemporary rock music that jars the brain and has no edification purpose in a worship time. And I say that very clearly and distinctly for those that are looking for true biblical teaching and biblical worship. We'd love to have you. And ladies and gentlemen, you can dial today. Telephone number 401-1413, join in this very serious dialogue and discussion on the subject today, is heaven just a fairy tale? Perhaps you know the story. You've heard the story in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31. It's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I call it the rich man and the ragged man. The rich man and Lazarus. The scripture is very, very clear. Both of them died. One went to heaven and one went to hell. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, when we think about the recent days and weeks, all of us recognize the name Billy Graham. Billy Graham was world-renowned. Billy Graham died. And as some of the billboards that's been placed in his honor across the landscape, it shows a picture of Billy Graham. And then he says, home now, home now. Billy Graham's at home. He's in heaven based on his testimony. But ladies and gentlemen, just as in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, when rich man died, he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he'd rejected Christ. The ragged man, Lazarus, didn't go to heaven because he was ragged and a pauper. He went to heaven because he had placed his faith in Jesus Christ. So I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we have Billy Graham as one of those examples. But there's a second person that has global recognition and international fame. His name is the renowned physicist, Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking died, I believe it was Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. He was 76 years old. So let's ask the question, who is Stephen Hawking? Because I'm using him as a parallelism and a comparison of what is found in Luke 16 with the rich man and Lazarus. Both of them died. One went to heaven, one went to hell. Billy Graham died. He was world renowned. He went to heaven. And this Stephen Hawking, the renowned physicist, died. And based on his own life story, he's burning in hell. Now, I don't say that gleefully. I say that de facto. And of course, we all mourn for the loss for his family. We understand it's a loss for them. We understand their mourning as a result of it. But who is Stephen Hawking? Let's look at what I call a brief or an extended biography of this man known as the smartest. And I'm quoting, he was known as the smartest scientist since Albert Einstein. He steadfastly denied the existence of God. He did say that he was grateful for the grand design of the universe, and he investigated that from a physicist, mathematician standpoint for all of his professional life. He was confined to a wheelchair for 55 years. Out of the 76 years of life, he was in a wheelchair. He had Lou Gehrig's disease, and he communicated via a speech synthesizer. He was diagnosed with the ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease, at the age of 21. In fact, the physicians told him then that he had about 2 years to live. Well, he lived 55 years after that diagnosis. Hawking, for years and years, had warned all of mankind that we face extinction, perhaps because of climate control, he said, a climate change, perhaps because of some nuclear war, or perhaps because of some genetically engineered viruses. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Hawking was a brilliant man. His book entitled The Brief History of Time sold over 10 million copies in 1988. Yet with all of his intellect, with all of his knowledge, with all of his what seemed to be wisdom, though it was earthly wisdom, he was unable to grasp the simple truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, and that there's a way for man to live for eternity, and that's by knowing Jesus Christ. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject is heaven, just a fairy tale. Stephen Hawking is the public figure that's in the light today on a global basis being extolled for all of his scientific genius. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Hawking said, humans have maybe 100 years left on Earth, if we're lucky, he said, and I quoted from that. Hawking was famous for his scientific work on what is called the black hole and the theory of relativity. Hawking was the first to set out a theory of cosmological and the union of relativity and the quantum mechanics. Simply put, if you wonder, well, what in the world does that mean? I did too. Listen, when he was talking about the theory of cosmology and the relativity of the quantum mechanics, if you boil it down, literally put, Stephen Hawking tried to explain the origin and the operation of the universe scientifically without the benefit of the Word of God. In fact, Stephen Hawking rejected the biblical account of creation completely, totally rejected it. He was, through his work, with the mathematician Sir Roger Penrose, had demonstrated that Einstein's general theory of relativity implies that space and time would have a beginning in the Big Bang theory and will end in what is called the black hole. Literally, he was trying to explain the existence of the world without God as creator. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the problem that Stephen Hawking had? Do you know what was the major loss in his life that he could not grasp, and why he could not? Because of what the book of James says in the third chapter and the 15th verse and falling, talking about beginning with verse 14. But if there's bitter envy and strife and in your hearts, glory not, lie not against God, the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Yes, Hawking's problem was this universally recognized physicist that is now being extolled around the globe for his wonderful works, as it is said. Stephen Hawking did not have biblical wisdom. He might have had earthly knowledge. He might have had human understanding. He may have had human wisdom, but he did not have heavenly wisdom. The Prime Minister, Theresa May, just called Hawking, quote, a brilliant and extraordinary mind, and one of the great scientists of this generation. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Hawking wasn't real smart at all. After all, he was not smart. You know what Stephen Hawking said? Listen, and I quote, heaven is just a fairy tale. Further, he said, I simply regard the brain as a computer which will stop working when its components fail. Hawking said, and I quote, there is no heaven, there's no afterlife for broken down computers. That is just a fairy tale story for people afraid of the dark, Stephen Hawking said. So, ladies and gentlemen, the subject we're talking about today, is heaven just a fairy tale? Is it just a fable? Is heaven something that is pie in the sky by and by, as some atheists and agnostics call it? Is that what it is? Here's this genius man called Stephen Hawking, died at the age of 76. Tremendous background as a physicist, and all of his research and all of his study, with a yearning to know, how did this world come into existence? How can we prove its existence? What is the cause? What is the effect? Stephen Hawking said, I'm not afraid of death, but I'm in no hurry to die. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in the deepest heart of Stephen Hawking, there was a recognition that there's something beyond man, a recognition there's something beyond scientific theorems. He had a recognition of something beyond himself, but refused to recognize, acknowledge that there is a God that created this earth and sustains it. Hawkins' mission in life in his own words. Let me just quote it. He said, and I quote, "My goal is simple. It is for a complete understanding of the universe, why it is as it is, and why it exists at all," end quote. Very simple answer, ladies and gentlemen, that he refused to recognize, that he refused to receive. And the very simple answer, the very elemental answer, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. That's a profound statement. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, in the scripture, there's no place where God tried to defend himself or prove himself. Just the declaratory introduction in the scripture, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, the word archaea, back in the back, and before time, God existed. And in the beginning, it's God. You can trace everything you want to about this universe back as far as you can trace it. And the end result is you simply find God. But for Stephen Hawking, the renowned physicist, said heaven is just a fairy tale. You see, Hawking de facto stated, quote, and I'm quoting, ladies and gentlemen, Hawking de facto stated, there is no God. And then he further states to back that up, I am an atheist. That's sad, ladies and gentlemen. For a person to have the brilliance that he had, for an individual to have the sharp mind that he had, for an individual to be as renowned as he was, for an individual to be as recognized as he was. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you had ever seen him. He was confined to a wheelchair. His body could not move on its own at all. But yet he had a brilliant mind from the human perspective. He had a microphone right at his lips, a little small microphone. That is, he would grunt his words. It went through a speech synthesizer that would then write out on the screen what he was saying. He lectured from that position. He wrote books from that position and was renownedly recognized as a major factor in the realm of physicists and what they would do and how they could study. And he spent his life trying to determine, how did this world begin? How can we validate it? What's the evidence of it? Where did matter come from? Yet he said, as he related to his disability, this is what he said, while there is still life, there is still hope. That sounds good. But he didn't have hope in the right source. Hawkins declared, and I quote, "We are just an advanced breed of monkeys on a minor planet of a very enlarged average star." Let me just quote it again. "We are just an advanced breed of monkeys on a minor planet of a very large or average star," end quote. Hawkins in 2010 declared, quote, listen to what Hawkins said. I'm just using his own words, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not trying to denigrate him in his death. I'm trying to illustrate for us that there is an example in the scripture of two men, which is representative in the story that's given there by the Lord Jesus. Two men, the rich man and Lazarus, both of them died. Both of them were cast into eternity. One went to heaven and one went to hell. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, Hawkins declared in 2010, God did not create the universe. There's no place for God in the theories of the creation of the universe. And yet the scripture says, in the beginning, God. So Hawkins is celebrated as an equal to Einstein, smart, brilliant, intelligent, intellectual. But the question today, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, you can be smarter than Stephen Hawkins. You can be smarter than all of his intellect and brilliance. You can be smarter simply by having the wisdom to understand, in the beginning, God. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, sir.
I'm just so glad we can always count on you for the truth. You
Amen,
never
brother.
Fail.
That's the source. Thank you so much.
But you know, Stephen Hawkins made a fool out of himself, because the other day I realized when you post something on the web, that information they last for infinity. It may just keep getting stored and stored and reproduced and reproduced, even though the computer that you use to post it will be in the junkyard. But that information will last for eternity, possibly. And these bodies are, he's exactly right. They're like a computer. One day they're going to die. But what our actions and our thoughts and what we've done is going to last for eternity. He should have never made such an idiotic statement.
Well, this is the source of that, my brother. The source says that there was the lack of wisdom. You see, the scripture is very, very clear in the Proverbs text, especially in the fourth chapter. Verse 5 in chapter 4 of Proverbs says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And it's God speaking, it's wisdom speaking. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. You see, we can have all the understanding we want to and all of the knowledge from an earthly standpoint, but without godly wisdom, we do not know how to apply that knowledge that we have. He had tons of knowledge, but he had no heavenly wisdom. But you're exactly right. Thank you so much for calling and joining in the dialogue and discussion today. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, I want us to understand when we talk about the brilliance and the intellect that is equated and allocated and assigned to Stephen Hawking. So Hawking is celebrated, as is put in much writing about him. I've done some thorough background research on his statements and what he did and his earthly understanding and knowledge. So with all of his wisdom, earthly wisdom, all of his knowledge celebrated, he's said to be equal to, listen, equal to Einstein with his brilliance and being smart and intellectual. But as I said a moment ago, do you want to be smarter than Stephen Hawking? You can be. Are you smarter than Stephen Hawking? I pray that you are. All that's necessary for us to be smarter, for any human being that's listening today, you don't have to have philosophical credentials. You don't have to have 14 PhDs. You don't have to be a hydrologist. You don't have to be one that is a physicist. You don't have to be one that is decorated and recognized on a global basis with all of your prowess and abilities academically as Stephen Hawking was. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. All that is necessary for you today to be more intellectually wise, to have more wisdom, more brilliance from a godly standpoint than Stephen Hawking, is simply to recognize that in the beginning God, in the beginning God. And ladies and gentlemen, with that, wisdom from God. Recognize, yes, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm in need of a Savior. And I understand that the one who created the heavens and the earth and all that's therein is Jesus Christ. You see in Colossians 1, verse 13 through 18, the scripture is very, very clear that Jesus Christ is the one that is God that did the creation. The scripture says in the Colossians 1 text that everything that's created in heaven, on the earth, under the heavens and under the earth was created by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the sustainer of it all. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, not only did Jesus Christ as God come in the flesh, not only did he create the world and all that's in the world, but I want us to understand it is by his power that the globe is sustained today. I say that Jesus is the divine superglue that holds it all together. And ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't take a brilliant philosophical mind. It doesn't take credentials from a classroom to have that wisdom. It comes from God. And if you're listening today, ladies and gentlemen, and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, all you need to do is right where you are. Simply say, Lord Jesus, I don't understand it, but I recognize that you're God come in the flesh. I realize that you died on the cross. You were buried. You shed your rich red royal blood for my sins had I been the only person on the face of the globe. Therefore, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart and save me. The scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you prayed that prayer, you've just said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. You've determined your eternal destiny by your decision with the wisdom from God to simply believe in the beginning God. Ladies and gentlemen, God is the greatest designer. God is the great creator. He is the one that created the universe, not the Big Bang theory, not some evolutionary process, but in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the sooner you recognize that, the sooner we realize that, the better off an individual is. But ladies and gentlemen, heaven is a very real place. Listen to what John chapter 14 says. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way there can be real peace is knowing Jesus Christ. Stephen Hawking, with all of his intellect, with all of his earthly knowledge, with all of his credentials, Stephen Hawking, I believe, was a man that was wrestling within himself, not having peace within himself, and invested his entire lifetime, or should I say spent his lifetime, in seeking for an answer. How did this universe come into existence? What holds it together? What's it made of? He didn't have peace. But the scripture says in John 14, 27, Jesus speaking, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ladies and gentlemen, you can be smarter than Einstein. You can be smarter than Stephen Hawking today simply by saying yes to Jesus Christ and allowing God's wisdom to direct your heart and your mind today. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, one of the sad things is in the book of Romans, the scripture says, in fact, it would have been a very, if you please, wonderful source for Stephen Hawking to have gone to. For the scripture says in Romans chapter 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men with who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then the scripture goes further in the 20th verse, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You see, Stephen Hawking could have just looked at the earth and said, I realize there must be a creator. But Stephen Hawking said, just because there's an earth, just because there's a created earth, doesn't mean that there's a creator. Heaven is a real place. The smartest person on earth is the man or woman, the boy or girl, who believes in Jesus Christ in the death, burial, and resurrection. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. Yes, Hawkins had said that some 600 years from now, the world will be only a ball of fire. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I believe he's experiencing part of that today in that place called hell. So I want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, heaven is not a fairy tale. Heaven is not fake. Heaven is not a place that is pie in the sky by and by. Heaven is a very real place. But according to John 14, 1, 2, and 3, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Are you prepared for that place called heaven? Are you prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, that's the bottom line. That's the question that ought to be asked. Because you see, Hawkins had said, as I stated a moment ago, we're just an advanced breed of monkeys on a minor planet of a very average star. But ladies and gentlemen, it's beyond that, because the scripture says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So if you want to be smarter than Einstein, all you need to do today is receive to embrace Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. No way we can prove him in a test tube. No way we can prove him in mathematics. We simply accept him by faith of saying yes to him as Savior and as Lord. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to next week as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.